My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate. What feline humanoids with tails tells us about U.S.-China trade relations. I'm David Brancaccio. There are signals that players in financial markets are just not accepting the Federal Reserve warnings that this inflation fight could end in recession. Let's understand this better by turning to Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial in New York.
The crux of this disagreement is that inflation has calmed down quite a bit in October and November. And the Fed published a forecast showing more aggressive rate increases next year than they expected just 3 months ago. And that forecast is based on an assumption that inflation is uglier than they thought 3 months ago. And you can see where the street might be confused, because inflation was actually a lot better than expected in the last 3 months.
All right, but you're a pro. You're not ruling out recession next year. I mean, you're not guaranteeing it either.
Never forget that if there's a disagreement between us economists and the Fed about the level of interest rates, the Fed does get the last word. The other thing is, Powell has a point, and that is 55% of the price indexes are determined by wage pressures. The job market is super tight, and certainly the possibility that wages could heat up, I think, pretty high.
Chris Lowe at FHN Financial in New York. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, David.
One in five young adults who have credit are behind. They have not paid debt that's due. Now, this is from a new Urban Institute study. Here's Marketplace's Samantha Fields.
It takes time to build up enough of a credit history to have a credit report at all, and even longer to get a good credit score, says Cassandra Martinchek, a researcher at the Urban Institute.
And what this really means is that young adults may have to face a higher interest rate, face a higher cost to borrow.
That may be one reason that more people between the ages of 18 and 24 are having a hard time keeping up with their car payments, retail loans, and credit card bills.
Debt is a lot harder to pay off when the cost of it is greater.
Chi-Chi Wu at the National Consumer Law Center says younger people are just starting to work and make money. They're also more likely to be renters than homeowners, and rents have gone way up in the last year or so, as have car prices.
And obviously that translates into larger loans and makes it more difficult to afford.
All of which is likely making it easier for young people to get into debt and harder for them to get out of it. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Without explanation, Twitter has turned off the accounts of several journalists from prominent outlets, including people who work for The New York Times, CNN, Washington Post, and the tech site Mashable. Some, but not all, have referenced a Twitter user who got his account pulled after posting a way to track the movements of the private plane of Twitter owner and Tesla CEO Elon Musk. Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The sequel to the 2009 blockbuster film Avatar opens in theaters today. Avatar: The Way of Water will show at theaters in both the U.S. and China. That last bit is noteworthy because China often keeps out big Hollywood films. I got Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pack on the line from Shanghai. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, David.
Why is this Avatar sequel such a big deal?
Well, the first Avatar was such a mega hit. It really launched the 3D experience in China. In fact, a local report credited the movie for doubling the number of 3D screens across China that year alone. And after that, any big budget Hollywood films really looked towards China to help them recover some of the costs. That, however, is not the case anymore.
So what happened?
Well, in 2018, a number of things happened, including Chinese government curbing the investments overseas in the movie industry, as well as the U.S.-China tit-for-tat tariffs. Those are still going on.
And I've been paying attention. Doesn't China already limit the number of foreign films into the country and censor?
Yes, and those hurdles just got a lot harder to clear. A movie distributor, David Lee, says he used to take 3 to 6 months to get his films from the U.S. approved in China.
Over the past few years, our approval process have taken 8, 9, 10, 12 months. It's been very challenging.
So he's surprised that Avatar's sequel got approved, given that the last 7 Marvel films were not.
Were not. Now, I guess then this could signal that things are changing for Hollywood films in China, you think?
Maybe, but it could also be a one-off case. Avatar has a huge fan base in China. In fact, during the pandemic, when movie theaters were struggling, they rescreened Avatar just to pull people in. Plus, Avatar is not heavy on political messaging, so it doesn't really clash with Chinese censors. And also, it could be about who's behind this film, Disney. It recently brought back Bob Iger. Again, film distributor David Lee.
Mr. Iger has had a tremendous history of business development, growth. Everything that Disney accomplished under Iger is unprecedented.
But still not necessarily a slam dunk hit in China, right? And it may not even be the content of the film that guides that.
No, not at all. Chinese movies are getting a lot better here. Plus, there's the pandemic. And yes, the zero COVID policy is being dismantled as we speak, but infection rates are also getting higher. So this could really affect whether people want to go into crowded theaters this weekend.
Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pack in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thanks.
The transistor was invented 75 years ago today. That little critter sure multiplied. There could be 16 billion of them in your pocket right now. I took a journey through the ecosystems of innovation that turned the transistor into nearly everything. The result is a podcast special. It'll be atop the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed starting this afternoon and through the weekend. Tell me what you think. Strangely interesting, people are saying. Our engineers in L.A. are Jessen Dullard and Nick Esposito. Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. I'm David Brancaccio with our Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.